Strokes are among the leading causes of death in the United States. Fleetwood Mac singer Christine McVie recently died after experiencing an ischemic stroke. So, we're discussing the different types of stroke and how they're treated. Our guest, Dr. Raghu Ramaswamy. He's a neurosurgeon for Krauss Health. This is Krauss Healthcast, a podcast from Krauss Health. Thanks for listening. I'm Joey Waller. Hi, Dr. Ramaswamy. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Joey. Thanks for inviting me.
Great to have you. So first, in a nutshell, what exactly is a stroke and how many people experience one each year?
So stroke is basically lack of blood supply or damage to the brain tissue for some reason, which causes a functional deficit. It's fairly common, actually. If you look at it in terms of numbers, we have about 800,000 people every year having strokes in the U.S. And just to put it in perspective, that's one person having a stroke every 40 seconds. And amongst these, one person dies from a stroke every 4 minutes. So that really makes it the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S.
So obviously some eye-opening numbers there. What types of strokes do you see most often, and how does the aforementioned ischemic stroke differ from the others, basically?
Essentially, there are two types of stroke. The first and the most common type is called as the ischemic stroke, which happens when there is lack of blood supply to the brain for multitude of reasons we'll go into. The other kind of stroke, it's called as a hemorrhagic stroke, which basically is some kind of a hemorrhage within the brain or on the surface of the brain. So this obviously includes two further types, which is an intracerebral hemorrhage, which is bleeding within the brain tissue, and a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is essentially bleeding on the surface of the brain. But ischemic strokes by far makes the largest proportion of strokes, which is close to about 85 to 87% of all strokes.
And the latter that you mentioned involving hemorrhaging, et cetera, that's the most serious of the two types, yes?
Well, both are equally serious. They're serious just in different ways, that's all.
Okay, gotcha. So to quickly recognize stroke symptoms and minimize damage or even the chance of death when one occurs, there's an acronym called FAST, F-A-S-T. What does that stand for?
When it comes to stroke, everything, it's a matter of time. So even recognizing a stroke needs to happen fairly quickly, and it needs to happen fast, as in FAST, which basically means F is for facial weakness or droop. If you see someone having a droop on one side of the face, they may be having a stroke. A is for arm or even leg weakness or both. So if someone's having weakness on one side of the body, arm or leg, they can be having a stroke. S is for slurred speech. If someone's slurring their words, they're not drunk, then they may be having a stroke. And that leads to the last letter, T, which basically means it's time to call 911. So essentially, this is a way to encourage people to recognize strokes fast and act fast as well.
And when you call 911, what information, if possible, do you want to provide the personnel over the phone?
Essentially, any amount of information you can provide about the patient's basic demographic details, starting from age, name, to medical history, which can be extremely useful, the medications they take, like if they are on any antiplatelet, anticoagulant medications, if they have any medical issues like renal failure, cardiac failure, all of these carry significant impact on how we have to investigate patients, how we can treat these patients, any allergies. These things make a big difference as well. So any kind of information that can be provided comes in extremely handy when we're treating patients.
How about symptoms-wise? Do they differ depending upon the type of stroke?
Well, absolutely. We have two different kinds of our compartments of circulation within the brain wherein blood circulates. One is the largest of the two, which is called as the anterior circulation, which is the front of the brain. And strokes in this area have very typical presentation, as in where they typically come in with slurred speech, facial weakness, weakness or numbness on one side of the body. That's a very common kind of a stroke. The other part of the circulation, the other compartment of circulation, it's called as the posterior circulation. And strokes in this area happen at the back of the brain, the brain stem area. And strokes in this area can be extremely difficult, even for trained medical personnel, very difficult to identify. Patients with this area of stroke can come in with just confusion, nausea, vomiting, room can be spinning, they can have trouble with vision, or they can flat right come in coma. So these very vague presentations are fairly common with posterior circulation strokes.
Who's most at risk for a stroke, generally speaking? What can people do in their own lifestyle to minimize the risk of having one?
So some medical conditions, when people have these, they can be extremely prone to have both strokes as well as cardiac disease. Things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking is extremely bad for almost everything for the body. Obesity, diabetes, all of these make people extremely prone to have vascular disease, which includes vascular cerebral disease or vascular cardiac disease. And just controlling a lot of these controllable or modifiable factors, like reducing blood pressure, reducing cholesterol, quitting smoking, changing lifestyle to control overweight or obesity, controlling blood sugars, strokes can be reduced close to 60-70%.
And when we talk about stroke risk, doctor, what's the significance among the Black population?
Right. So if you look at the data from American Heart Association, more than half of African Americans have hypertension. And the problem with the hypertension in African Americans is it appears at a much younger age, and they're a lot more severe. And also they're quite resistant to treatment, actually, to control. That makes them a lot more prone to stroke. Close to 70% of African American men and close to 80% of African American women are either overweight or obese. So that again increases their risk. They are equally prone to diabetes, smoking as well, equally prone to smoking. So all of these put together, they are at increased risk of having strokes.
So some more attention getting numbers there, to say the least. How about when medical personnel respond to a stroke? We mentioned that FAST acronym earlier, but there's also a saying, time is brain, which means what?
So again, to put it in perspective, every minute a person is having a stroke, we're losing close to about 2 million neurons in the brain. That's a lot of brain tissue loss. So time is extremely important. So when speaking of what happens at Crouse when patients are brought in with a stroke or brought in with a suspicion of having stroke, it's like almost everything else kind of stops, and stroke patients are fast-tracked towards treatment. So when patients come into the emergency department, patients are very quickly assessed by the ED provider, and the CT scanner stops doing scans on any other patients, and they are put on hold for scanning the stroke patients. So from ED, patients are rushed very quickly to the CT scanner for imaging. And the moment the patients arrive in Crouse Emergency Department, there's a common pager that goes out to the whole stroke team, which includes the neurology team, the neurosurgery team. And mid-levels from both of these teams immediately go to either the CT scanner, if the patient's in the CT scanner already, or to the ambulance bay. Patients are very quickly assessed. If patients are candidates to receive a clot-busting drug, either TPA or TNK, that's the newer drug, then they are given the drug immediately after scan, which confirms there's no bleed. And following administration of the clot-busting drug, patients undergo vascular imaging, which tells us if there is a large vessel occlusion, as in one of the main arteries in the brain is blocked. And if it is, patients are rushed down to the interventional neuroradiology stroke unit, where they undergo a procedure called as a mechanical thrombectomy, wherein we go up with a catheter into the brain and try and suck out the clot and open up the arteries. And essentially, we are aiming to do the whole process between the patients coming to the emergency department to the first time a therapeutic catheter meets the clot in less than 90 minutes. That's what we aim for. And in Crouse, we generally try and hit between 60 to 65 minutes, in fact.
Well, I know that Crouse Health is a designated comprehensive stroke center, and that designation achieved by meeting the most stringent clinical quality requirements and recognizes the Crouse Stroke Team's dedication to providing the most advanced and, as you point out, Doctor, the quickest stroke treatment available in the area. And so you just laid out for us in detail and did a great job with it, how that all unfolds. A couple of other things. You could probably practice at most any hospital. Why did you choose Crouse in the first place?
Well, I trained at Crouse to start with, and that's my fellowship. I did my fellowship at Crouse. And one thing I noticed was physicians at Crouse are allowed to practice to the best of patients' interests without much of interference from the administration. So that's hard to see. And the kind of camaraderie we have between colleagues at Crouse, the kind of camaraderie we have between physicians and the administration, in fact, it's extremely good. So it's a wonderful place to practice, really.
Well, that's great. Let me ask you this in summary. I know that treating the brain and treating strokes as a result can be a very tricky business, even for neurosurgeons like yourself. And so when you're dealing with a delicate situation like a stroke attack, to say the least, for both the patient and their family, how would you kind of summarize what the patient care philosophy is at Crouse for you and yours when you're dealing with stroke affected people?
Well, essentially at Crouse, we try and do what is best for the patient. We try and do it as fast as we can, possibly can do. And we do it to the best of our ability, all of us. That includes the whole team, in fact. And we clearly mention this to our patients. And even without mentioning, a lot of our patients notice it themselves by the way patients are dealt with, the speed at which we kind of deal with all these things, and the compassion and care the nurses and the physicians show towards not just the patient, but to the family as well. The family recognizes this as well. That's essentially the simplest philosophy you need to deal with any patients for that matter.
And finally, patients, no pun intended, not IENTS, but IENCE patients is important when a stroke occurs, isn't it, for both the patient and their loved one? Because sometimes you don't know right away what the exact prognosis is, correct?
Exactly. When strokes happen or any kind of brain injury happens, recovery can take up to 6 to 12 months. So that is one thing I stress to both the patients and the relatives, because it's very easy during that period to get frustrated, to get disheartened. But the important thing to remember is things can continue to improve up to 6 to 12 months. And the more effort they're able to put in, the more they're able to work with physical therapy to strengthen the weakened side, the better the outcome. So it's, patience is extremely important.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with strokes and their treatment, particularly at Crouse Health, where their team does the great job that the doctor just described in detail. Dr. Raghu Ramaswamy, thanks so much again.
Thank you so much.
And for more information, please visit krause.org/stroke. Again, krause.org/stroke. Now, if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media. And thanks again for listening to Crouse Healthcast, a podcast from Crouse Health. Hoping your health is good health. I'm Joey Wallach.